So here we are on this Palm Sunday. There is a lot of things that could vie for our attention. And the real question that I want to deal with this morning is, do we want Christ or these other things? And that's coming at you this morning. Welcome to God's Resistance. We're thankful you tuned in here this morning on this Palm Sunday. And we're going to be looking at a certain, section of scripture. It's really kind of a, I'm trying to even think what the name of the word is now, and I can't think about it, where there's parallel places in throughout the scripture and piecing the story together, the storyline together throughout the different gospels in a chronological manner to help us get the idea behind what happened Palm Sunday. And then we'll be talking about Christ or craving, Christ or culture, Christ or cash, Christ or clout, and the conclusion, the question being, do you want the real Jesus? So we're going to be looking through places in Luke, in Matthew, in John, and I'm not sure if there's any places in Mark here. It doesn't appear to be. So we're just going to start right off, and I'm not going to tell you when I switch from one book to the other. We're just going to read it in a chronological order. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage, that is Jesus, in Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And that they were sent, and they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So here we have this whole account taking place. And so I want to deal with first the thought of, do you want Jesus or your cravings? And what I mean by that is, we live in a day where faith perhaps seems, it's not good if it's not a thrill. So we have the supernatural, the craving for the supernatural. You know, the disciples were thrilled probably when Jesus told them, go into the city, there's going to be a guy who's got a donkey tied up. When you see that donkey, take the donkey, excuse me. And when people ask, hey, what are you doing? Just say the master needs it and he'll let that happen. So it did happen. They did exactly what he said. And there was naturally probably a thrill like, wow, this is amazing. Jesus knew all of this and they did it. So there's that thrill of the supernatural display, always wanting that. I do want to say that there is times when those things may happen in our lives, but that's not what the Christian lives for. There is oftentimes day after day after day, which is just the plodding everyday tasks that we have to do. But God does show up sometimes in those times. People have the craving then for the thrills. You know, the authority when they just said, hey, the master needs that donkey, and the people relent and say, okay, you can go ahead and take the donkey. Wow, he's given us authority. People have, we read about the people here that had the seen Lazarus resurrected, and then the testimony of that, them seeing Lazarus resurrected spreads to others. Now they come and see this Jesus coming and riding down a donkey. Wow, if that's what he did then, what's he going to do now? It was almost like entertainment to them. Also, we have that people have this kind of emotional high. When Jesus was coming down on the donkey, they were shouting and praising God. And, you know, that must come from reality if we have that in our lives. Jesus does acknowledge that emotional expression is good because the people said, hey, make all these people be quiet. And Jesus said, if I tell them to be quiet, the rocks will start shouting out in praise. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with exuberant praise, but it seems like a lot of times people were just caught up in all of what was going on and the excitement of it when people are shouting Hosanna and, you know, jumping and leaping. And here we find that there were some of these that were in that crowd that were shouting and praising God. Some of those same people were in the crowd just a little while after this, shouting, crucify him, after they were disillusioned and Jesus didn't really add up to what they thought the Messiah should be. Now they're shouting, crucify him, when just a few days before, or this time in this account on Palm Sunday, they were shouting praises to God. So they're living for the emotional high. And there are other places where we see those thrills that were happening. They said, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, oh, don't be thrilled about that. Be thrilled that your names are written in the book of heaven, in the book of life. Another place in the book of Acts, this Simon Magus, he saw that when the apostles laid their hands, then the Holy Ghost was received. And he said, he gives money and says, give me that power so I can do that same thing. People want that supernatural. They want the thrill. But what about the Christ? And Christ, we're told, was a fulfillment of the prophecy. And when we look at Matthew 21, verse 4, we find that it says that this was happened in order that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, and then this is when Jesus was coming in on a donkey. So instead of saying, oh, this is the miraculous prophecy that's being fulfilled in front of our eyes, they had a craving for all the supernatural thrills. Is that you, listener? Do you want the real Christ, or are you more in it for the supernatural, for the thrills, for the emotional highs, but you're not in it to be freed from your sins? You don't want the real Christ of Calvary. Or maybe you want Christ or the culture. Maybe the culture is trying to get in the way. We look here and we find that they wanted in that time a material kingdom. Their idea of the Messiah was that the Messiah was going to come. He's going to wipe out the Roman Empire, and then they were going to finally be liberated. So they were looking for the material kingdom. They had a political zeal about all this, and they were looking for a material king. He's going to come in and conquer. And then, so they welcome this, what they thought was material king, this material Messiah, as he comes down on the donkey, and they were putting their clothes in front of him, and they're putting palm branches down and laying in and shouting, Hosanna, here comes the king. And, you know, we had a lot of that going on even with elections. People wanted, you know, Trump back in 2016, and a lot of Christians said, oh, Trump is elected, and I'm not saying that that there was all negatives about that being happened, but the thing is, there's something bigger than politics going on here. There was righteousness that was being sought after, and Jesus was the Messiah to usher in righteousness into people's hearts. And so we can just look for the material and the political and all those kind of things, and they may have a measure of good for what they are worth, but it doesn't fix the whole problem. And so do you want culture? The culture is looking for all this material blessing and whatnot, but what are you looking for? Christ said, if you had known that this was the time of your peace in Luke 19:42, but he said, but you didn't. And so destruction's coming your way. So that material kingdom they were looking for, the political zeal, their material king, now they were going to experience a political downfall in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. So they have wrecked prosperity, and then they have wrecked posterity. Even their children and stuff were, some of them were killed, and a lot of terrible things had happened because their hope was in the wrong place. They were disappointed. Or maybe you want Christ or cash. So, and I'm saying this, I want to back up for a second. When we're talking about Christ or the culture, is the culture more important to you? Is this life more important to you than the values that Christ places on this life? So you have to choose between Christ or culture. You also have to choose between Christ or cash. So we find with cash, there were those religious leaders and different ones that had taken advantage of the fact that people were coming to offer sacrifices in the temple. So they're buying and selling in the temple and raising the prices up to exorbitant amounts, trying to make money off of this necessary sacrifice that people had to come. So it was akin to thievery and extortion. And Jesus was quite angry with that. You know, a lot of people make merchandise off of the church. We know those people that are on television and that have huge followings online, and they promise the world if only you just give them a little money. And they're flying in private jets and doing all this kind of stuff, when in fact, they're not in it for Christ, for the one that didn't have a place to lay his head. They're in it for themselves. So you've got to choose between Christ or cash. Christ's reaction to this whole situation in the temple was he overturned the tables and he said, this place is supposed to be a place of prayer for people of all nations, and you turned it into a den of thieves. And he overturned the tables. And you know, dear listener, he may overturn our doings in our Christian life if he is not central. The other thing we have to choose between is Christ or clout, and clout meaning, you know, you're really important in society. So there was a problem amongst the Pharisees and religious leaders. They were perceiving their loss of influence or power over the people. We read in John 12, 19, where the Pharisees said, don't you see that we're not prevailing at all? The whole world's following after him. And then they're saying, oh, rebuke your disciples. They're thinking that you're some special divine, whatever. You need to rebuke him, rebuke them. And they were very displeased about the whole thing. So they were looking for position, power, and recognition. But they missed the marrow of everything. They missed Christ, the very person whom they should have bowed down and worshiped. So, dear listener, is that you? Do you just want people to think well of you? Do you want position, power, and recognition? Christ, he totally threw this out the window when he said he was looking for simple praise. He said, through the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And do that versus these pious theologians, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them, they missed it. And he said, these simple folks that you despise, they're the ones whom God is pleased with. And so they were giving exuberant, unashamed praise towards Christ for who he was. They were putting the palm branches down in their clothes before. Jesus cared for the sick and for the lame. So once again, he spoils the thoughts that we as people have. So you've got to choose between Christ or clout. You know, there are some people that will not take any kind of position of service for the kingdom of God if they cannot be recognized for it, if they cannot be at the top, if their name cannot be the thing that's remembered instead of Christ's name. And I'm not saying that sometimes we do work, mighty works for God and our names are remembered, but that's not why we're doing it. What we're doing is building up Christ's kingdom in obedience to him and walking with him. And some people will not do that unless they get position, power, or recognition or influence. So you've got to choose between Christ or clout. What are you going to choose, dear listener? So concluding all this Palm Sunday, Jesus said, if only you knew the time of your visitation. And I'm saying that to you, dear listener. If only you knew the time of your visitation. As Christ spoke to you, is he speaking to you now? Has he blessed you in some way? And now he wants you to use that blessing for his glory. Has he visited you in times of prayer, in times of affliction and troubles, and even in your joys? He's visited you because he wants to communicate something to you. Is he leading you in some sort of direction? Are you listening to him? Has he upheld you through great difficulties and things that have gone on? Why has Jesus done this? What is he after in your life? Is he after shallow surface things? Is this what God is after? He wants to be king over you in his perfect understanding. We read in Luke 17, 20 through 21, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So, dear listener, don't miss the purpose of his personal and collective visitations to you. Seek his will and choose Christ. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782 and get a hold of me. If you're local, I'd love to meet with you in a coffee shop. If not, I can talk with you over the phone. Visit godsresistance.com. Also, go to YouTube and visit God's Resistance Press. or more. If you are local, we are in the Abide Coffee Shop every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and we'll see you there.